Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have one of my good friends, Chris Scopo, is here.
Hey, thanks for having me in Jersey.
I know, like, yeah.
Jersey.
So Chris didn't realize how far of a drive it would be from Queens, right?
Astoria. I was like, Jersey City, that's like 15 minutes over the bridge.
No,
I forgot you moved.
I've been here for a year, man.
I know, you moved, and I was like, oh, I saw it. I was like, hour eight. I was like, I thought maybe I put it in the train thing.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I put it in the fucking train. And then I was like, oh, no, that's drive. I go, oh, shit. I was like, this is not as fun. And I was already late. I woke up at 2:30 today because you just, I don't know. I don't wake up.
Well, you're
up.
Here.
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, I definitely want to have, I think, a party here soon. Not like huge, crazy, but like I want.
I don't think you can't do party anymore at our age.
Yes,
gatherings.
You can.
Gatherings.
Okay, a fun gathering. Because yeah. I feel like I have a whole house and like get some hard ciders. People smoke some weed.
You have a nice house too.
It's pretty great.
Nice. It's I didn't even know this upstairs existed. And this is like a nice, cool layer.
Yeah, without the upstairs, it would still be great.
It'd still be good, yeah. But this adds another dimension to it.
Yeah, it's the magical, it's like a magical attic. It's my little hideaway.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah, it makes me happy. So there's so many things. First, let's get into the holidays, because this is going to come out actually after New Year's, but this is actually Christmas Eve that we're doing this.
Yeah, this is Christmas Eve.
Pretty crazy.
I'm here on Christmas Eve. I just don't want to be with my family. I'm just delaying the inevitable as long as I can. You know, it sucks because like they don't know anything about like comedy. So every time I go, they're like, "How's it going? Is it good? You can get some stuff from this, right?" I'm like, "I don't." It's like, no, I can't.
They always ask that.
It's like, I can't. If I could get it, you guys would be in my act, but you're not that funny. You just think you are.
I know. It's pretty brutal. I think maybe I heard you saying that on stage once. Do you talk about that on stage ever?
I might have. I don't remember.
If you did, it was like years ago. But whoever it was, whether it was you or someone else, was like, they were like, no, what you say isn't that funny or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you like, think it's funny. I'm like, hey, just a bunch of alcoholics.
That's yeah, really they're like, are you gonna talk about me? And it's like, what am I gonna say about you?
Yeah, yeah. I had to describe my fucking aunt. All my aunts, they're all older. They're in their late 60s, early 70s. So they're up there. They're good. It's not
they
like
they must love you so much.
I'm the baby.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because you have such a baby thing about you. Like, you're obviously a grown ass man, but you still have like this innocence that's kind of kept with you.
Yeah, I'm the out of all the first cousins, I'm the baby.
I need to give you a crystal before you go, by the way.
Oh, let's get into it. Yeah.
I want to give that to you.
I love that shit.
Yeah, I dug some up this summer. I don't give them out to too many people, but you are someone who needs to get a crystal.
I'll get a crystal. I had a crystal and then I stopped wearing it. Broke.
It broke?
The crystal didn't break. The chain broke.
Okay.
I still have it in my apartment. It's
okay,
in
good.
My drawer.
Didn't you get that one with Rosebud?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had that and I was just like, I wore it for a long time. And then it kept breaking the chain, and I just gave up on it.
What was cool about that crystal is it had like a natural bonsai-ish tree shape.
Yeah,
in
you remember
it?
This? Wow.
Oh, please.
Oh, you're into this is good. You're into this. Let's go.
So you showed me, and I was like, you were excited about it, though.
I was pumped. I was jacked about it. I felt like I was playing baseball, and someone gave me like an autographed baseball. I was like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, you were like, and then because you were looking, Rosebud took you. You were like trying to. Go.
I don't know. I was walking in there and I go, ooh, a bonsai tree. I said, maybe I should get one of those. Because I from the Karate Kid and I was like, bonsai.
Bonsai trees are pretty cool.
Yeah. And I was, and then there's a bonsai tree on the stone. She's like, that's your stone. That's yours. I feel the energy coming from you. She got all into, you know, energy and shit. And
she's all into it too. And you told me you were like, you reached up or something and like felt a crystal and pulled it down and it had the bonsai shape in it when you had just thought of getting a bonsai tree.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, something. So that was the world telling me, get the crystal.
It was. Well, what's your thing with bonsai trees? Like, is it really Karate Kid kind of like?
No, just from the Karate Kid. I went with bonsai tree from the Karate Kid. It's the greatest thing in the world. Mr. Miyagi?
Yeah, tell me more about it. I remember Karate Kid, but I don't
remember.
I do and I don't. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I remember it and loved it.
It was the third one, I think. The third Karate Kid where he opens a bonsai store, Mr. Miyagi.
Okay, does he? See, yeah. I totally
And
forgot.
Then people, like, they trash it. You know, the bad villains trash it. And they they go to like bury a bonsai tree, not bury, but like replace it into the wilderness or whatever. I don't know what the hell. And then the villains kind of fuck with it. Can I curse on here?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So they fuck and they almost like destroy the bonsai tree, but then they fix it and then they open at the end of the movie. They open the bonsai store.
Wow.
Mr. Miyagi opens Pat. His name is like Nishimura, but they call him Pat in real life. That's the weirdest nickname for somebody.
That's so funny. Yeah, boys really took in Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Like, it was there. I liked it, but I feel like a lot of my guy friends growing up.
Oh, my God.
It's like in
me?
Their hearts forever.
Yeah, it's like the bully. He's the bullies get bullied at the end.
Is that what it is? Like, is it because it's like feeling like the underdog and then coming through it?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I like the Karate Kid part too when he goes to Japan.
See, you're remembering things. I don't remember that. Why? What happens when he goes to Japan? He like proves himself there?
Yeah, he goes and fights like a real Japanese guy. So, you know, it's like he knows karate.
Yeah.
Like when he goes to Japan and beats a Japanese guy, it's like Daniel LaRusso was the shit.
Amazing.
And then there's like all customs. Do you remember that little, how like it's like a little thing where you go back and forth and it makes the noise? Oh, I don't know the name of it, but it's like they sell them everywhere in like Chinese and Japanese stores. It's like a famous like little drum.
Oh, I don't remember.
You spin it back and forth and it makes a noise.
Oh, I do know what you're talking about. And it like, it's like, and the two things just spin.
They spin back and forth.
Oh, wow.
And at the end of the movie, you don't remember that? At the end of the movie where he fights the Japanese guy? That's a great fucking scene. I'm so jacked. I want to go watch it tonight.
I know. I might have to show
Shane. That's my Christmas movie.
Shane's
never seen The Karate Kid.
I don't even know.
If you show him the fucking new Karate Kid with, I think, Jaden Smith and not the original one.
No, I'd show the original.
I'd be very upset with you.
Please.
Don't do that.
I love showing Shane. One of my favorite things to do is like pulling out my favorite 80s movies and getting to rewatch them with him.
What's your favorite one?
What's one of my favorites that I... Well, Star Wars, come on. Is
Star
that even
Wars?
80s, actually?
That's like 70s.
That's 70s.
I wasn't a big Star Wars person.
No?
No. Were you?
I semi was, but as I've gotten older, I've fallen deeper in love with the Star Wars saga.
Okay. Did you see the new one?
Oh, yeah.
You did? I haven't seen it yet.
Saw it by myself.
I see. I went to the movies last night by myself.
What'd you see?
The Disaster Artist.
How was it?
Awesome.
I heard it was awesome.
So good.
I took Shane yesterday to see a movie that ended up being so inappropriate for him. It's called The Shape of Water. Fucking fantastic. It's about like essentially a merman, but I think he might be one of the characters from Hellboy, possibly Aquaman or something.
Oh, yes. Okay. He's his gills and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's from Hellboy.
But people aren't sure if it's exactly him or another character like him. Some people think it's the character from, what is it, the Black Lagoon or Blue Lagoon, whatever, whatever. I'm messing this up. But it's that kind of creature that gets captured by the U.S. Army. And like the cleaning woman at the place falls pretty much in love. They fall in love with each other. It's
I think
nuts.
I did see something about that. Coming Attractions. Good?
Dude.
It was inappropriate, though?
Oh, my God. They have some sex scenes in there that are like... beyond
does
like
he
it's
have, like
does he unnecessary
a, does he have a dick or does
he
have he
ends up, I don't want to give it away, but he does have a dick. It's crazy. She like described, oh my God, it was such a, I can't give it away, but Shane was lit, like it was a lot for Shane.
It was a lot for Shane to handle.
I had no, like, I think in the first 5-10 minutes there's like a girl masturbation scene in the bathtub and I was like, oh no.
Oh, you're a good mom though.
I had no idea. I was like,
what do you do? What'd you do? You just let it happen?
I covered his eyes real quick and we both whispered. I was like, I had no idea. I thought this was like another superhero movie. Like, and Shane was like, Mom, what are you doing taking me to this? And I was
my
like,
my parents
fuck.
Did that to me. They didn't know. They went to see Something About Mary.
Dude.
And I was like 10 maybe at the time. Remember the point where he's jerking off?
And the cum gets in the hair.
And my parents were like, do you know what's going on here? And I had no clue at all. And I was like, yeah, I got it. They're like, do you? They're like, yeah, I got it. And then like I didn't want to say anything. So I waited until after it was over. Then I asked my brother because he's 5 years older than me. I was like, what the fuck was this movie about? And then he told me everything. That's how I knew.
That Something About Mary was pretty... I mean, in the very beginning, he gets his ball sack stuck in the zipper.
That, yeah.
They show it.
I got that. I mean, I knew that. I mean,
right, but it's still, like, for 10, they show...
Oh, I know everything.
Balls.
Yeah.
Like, I remember going to see that. I mean, I was older than you, but I remember being like, whoa, like, that's a big
start.
Yeah,
that's a big... That was a big scene right there.
Yeah, so... Definitely The Shape of Water started like that. Loved it. One of the best romance movies. Are you into romance movies?
I am, actually.
What are your... Okay, this is what I was hoping you'd let me do this. I want to know what your favorite romance movies are. Because I made a list yesterday, and I wanted to share it.
Romance, like... I like rom-coms.
Whatever fits in that thing, like, for you.
You know what movie I like? This is so gay, but... Maid of Honor.
Really?
Yeah, I like that movie. I really do.
That's so cute.
Every time it's on, I'll watch it. Patrick Dempsey... He's in it, right?
I haven't seen that in a long time.
It's a good
Isn't
movie.
Isn't it with What's-Her-Face? She's the blonde. You know what I'm talking about? What's her name? Catherine? Was it
No, it's not Katherine Heigl.
Oh, what was that one? Oh, that was like 20-something dresses.
Yeah, 27 dresses.
Wait, so what's Maid of Honor?
His like best friend is getting married, but she's a girl, and she wants him to be the maid of honor.
Oh.
But it's M-A-D-E of honor. It's not M-A-I-D.
I might have to watch this.
You ever seen this movie?
I think I have years ago.
And he fights for her. He realizes at the end he loves her.
Fuck, man.
It's a good movie.
Love's insane.
Love sucks.
See The Shape of Water.
I want to see it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so can I tell you my list? And
yeah,
then you can keep going with yours. I don't think mine are very rom-com-y, though, which is fine.
All right.
Because rom-coms totally fit for this. Okay, ready? Well, first of all, everyone knows I'm obsessed with Twilight. I don't give a shit what people say.
Twilight is dope.
You love Twilight, Chris?
Yeah, but it fell off a little bit, though. The last couple fell off,
though. Are you kidding me?
The first two were dope.
First one stole my heart. The last one, I was like in love. Like,
really?
When she becomes a vampire?
How about the fucking the werewolf guy wants to bang the daughter? It's like, that's fucking weird.
I don't care.
It's
man.
Like, what are you doing? It's like, if I was her, the vampire chick, I'd get the fuck away from my kid. You like me?
Keep
you like my
mic
daughter?
A little bit far when you yell.
Oh, sorry.
Not too far. No. Yeah, perfect.
That was weird. It was like, dude, you were in love with me, and now my daughter, a younger,
cool
better version, comes along, and now you're in love with this?
He imprinted. He's a werewolf. He imprinted. What
no,
do you want him to
that
do?
That was weird.
Oh, I didn't give a fuck.
I didn't like that.
At first, I was a little uncomfortable, and then I was like, let's do it.
I wanted the father to be like, yo, back the fuck off of my kid.
He understands, yo. He's a vampire. He gets imprinting. Anyway, I'm glad we both love Twilight.
You're
one of the first dudes to be brave enough to admit it's the shit.
I'll admit, the first dude, the first couple were dope.
I love them all.
They were
dope.
I
am obsessed. Okay, the second one I've talked about too, but Natural Born Killers is actually romantic to me.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
You haven't seen Natural Born Killers?
No.
Please see it immediately.
Who's it with?
It's pretty fucking dark. It's with Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis. You need to see this. They're two serial killers in love.
Okay.
And it's sick. Like, it's dark. They're killing tons of people, but their romance, their bond is like they captured the ultimate love in my eyes.
Okay. Speaking of Woody Harrelson, I watched last night too for a little bit, and Decent Proposal.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good movie.
I need to re-see this.
That's a really good movie.
What else do I have? The Notebook, obviously.
The Notebook's a good one.
Obviously,
I like
though.
The Notebook, yeah.
I like 50 Shades of Grey. I read it and I saw so far the two.
Wasn't into
no,
it.
No, I like it.
It wasn't. It was too weird.
Really? Oh, see, I was like, make it more. Princess Bride.
That's a good one.
And that's romance.
That's a young, what the hell's the main character's name?
I forget.
That's a good one, though.
That's a good one, right?
Andre the Giant's in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Obey dude. Romeo and Juliet, obviously.
Which
with
one?
Leo.
That's a great movie.
That
and
was...
the swords are guns, but they call them swords. That's a great movie.
That's like...
It's young Claire Danes. And
oh,
then
my...
It's...
I loved Claire Danes.
She was good in it, too.
Yeah. Both of them. They
Leo's,
were fucking angsty.
Leo's career was just crazy, where like there's so many young movies he did that were so good. And at the time...
He's still killing it.
But no, at the time, you're like, you had no idea that he was going to be as big
that
he was, but he was so good.
He's one of the best
so
actors
good.
Out. I will forever have a crush on Leo.
Oh, yeah.
Forever.
I got a man crush on him.
And he's now fighting for the environment. Like, how sexy can you be?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you fucking do those hot movies and you fight for the environment?
Yeah,
like,
he's dope, though.
We
like,
get it.
He
you're
fights
hot.
For the environment and just bangs models. That's all he does.
Yeah, that's the part I don't like.
That's the part you don't like, really?
I mean, I'm glad he gets hot chicks, like, all good. But, like, I want to see... Because there's all different types of hot chicks. Like, I feel like, come on. Like,
you know why I think he does it?
Why?
Because he's so into his career and acting that he
can't... It's like
can't,
another credit.
No, he can't let himself... be in love, because if he falls in love,
ooh,
he'll think he'll take away from his acting.
That's a great.
That's how I have it with comedy.
Me and you, we're gonna have to interview Leo and see if his theory's
right. I'm telling you, Leo. I guarantee that's it because he's so deep into acting. He loves it so much. I don't think he will let himself. So he bangs these models and he'll be like, "Oh yeah, I'll be a year with a hot ass girl, and then I'll just dump her and get another one." Because he can't let himself go.
And that's how you feel? Like you don't want to fall in love because you think it might take away from your focus?
Oh, yeah.
I want it all.
Definitely.
I want it all. Oh, here's a good one. Fight Club. Think about it. That's a romance.
Between who? Himself?
No. Well, that's hilarious. Kind of. I didn't even think about that. No, I forget her name now in the movie. Helena Bonham.
Yeah, I know.
What's her name?
I don't know her name, but I know who you're talking about.
But that whole thing is a romance between the two of them, and he like loses his mind. She like she the whole time knows he's basically split personality, and she just stays with him through the whole thing.
Yeah, that's true.
He like shoots himself in the fucking mouth, and she's still holding his hand.
He beats the shit out of himself.
She's a ride or die bitch.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, she's crazy. Because she's staying
with them. But
they're
crazy together. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like crazy meets... I mean, it's the same with Natural Born Killers. I'm talking like raw fucking bond. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So all the things I'm listing, it's like...
You want that raw love. That real...
That's all there
you
is.
You don't want that uppity bullshit where like...
Both. It comes with both.
You think? I like raw. I like the raw shit though. I like when
but
you're so madly
ups,
in love.
Yeah, that
you don't give a fuck.
But of course... But I'm saying I still want the ups in it. Like, I don't want to become heroin addicts together.
Okay. You know what I mean? Opium pills.
Yeah, like, I'm so happy we're in love. Yeah. Now let's go murder people and shoot heroin.
Whenever you see movies where they're just, they're heroin addicts, but they're in love with each other, but they're, like, lovey heroin addicts. It's like, that's terrible. I can't get behind this.
I know. And yet you're like, wow, like they're really behind each other.
Yeah.
Like sometimes he'll go watch his girl go suck dick for money so that she can pay for their heroin. And he's still like, my
that's
girl
love.
Do what
yeah.
My girl
that's love
do.
Right there. She loves me so much. She'll blow another dude for me.
It's like I watch it and I'm like, what the hell? Like, wow.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Okay. What else you got in your list?
So Edward Scissorhands.
You know, I met him right after that movie.
Did you really? How'd you meet Johnny Depp? I used to have such a crush on him. Oh my! Oh, Crybaby. I didn't add that. Oh my God! I forgot Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. Now we're talking.
Dirty
huh?
Dancing, man.
That's a good movie.
Didn't even have that on my list. Dirty Dancing and Crybaby. How could I forget? Oh,
I've
and
never
Avatar.
Seen Crybaby.
Avatar.
Avatar is good.
Lord of the Rings has a great romance in it. But yeah, Edward Scissorhands. She falls in love with a man who's got fucking scissor hands. She has his back. The Addams Family.
Is it a love story?
It's not a love story, but the romance between whatever.
Morticia
and, what's his name?
I forget his name.
But they're fucking ride or die, too.
Yeah, she loves them.
They are obsessed
Morticia
with each other.
Morticia loves them, yeah.
And he loves her. And then someone added this yesterday, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I never saw that movie.
You got to see it. It's got not a happy ending.
Did you see the Jim Carrey thing? The movie, the behind the scenes of
no,
of when he did the movie by Andy Kaufman. It's on Netflix.
Okay, I'll see it.
But real quick in that movie, this is how fucked up the business is. He was meeting with the director of the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and the Eternal director just looks at him and he's like, "You're broken," and like he's like, "Yeah," he's like, "You're a broken person right now," and he's like, Jim Carrey's like, "Yeah, I am." He goes, "Don't change at all. I want you to be broken." And he goes, "But the movie didn't start shooting for another year." So he just had to be broken for a year to film the movie and then still be broken throughout the movie, and then he could get his life back together.
See that? It's so funny you bring that up because I've been thinking a lot about like waiting to get your art out there, and I'm just so like I'm turbo. Like I like to move quickly with like this is what I did, put it out, start something new. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's quote unquote the right way to do it, but I hate having to sit on projects.
Okay.
So if someone said to me, like, sit on that, stay broken, I'd be like, I can't, like, I think I would die.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, no, let's like, put me in, coach. Let's do this.
Yeah. He had to put, like, for the movie, he's like, I had to do it. I had to really kind of like, that's fucked. You can't fix yourself because the role would be as good.
No, that affects your whole life. I'm not.
Yeah,
about
you can't
that.
Do that. I don't think you can do that.
No. All right, let's see. First of all, you're the one that... Let me turn this so I can see... Oh, yeah, we're good. Okay, so next topic. I wanted to bring this up. I remember years ago, you and I were working on our acting exercises.
Oh, yeah. I remember. I was thinking about that when I'm coming out here, actually.
That I thought, I was like, oh, what am I going to talk to Chris about when he gets here? First of all, obviously, we can talk about anything. But I was like, oh, I remember when Chris and I would go to the lantern.
Yeah.
And what was the technique?
Meisner.
The Meisner technique. And why don't you describe what it is?
Basically, it's the Meisner is like repetition. You got to repeat certain things, and then you got to get you get more into the what you're saying. Like, so if there's a knock on the door, you answer it like, that was a weird knock, and then I would repeat, that was a weird knock. But the way you say it is like questioning, or it's aggressive, or it's not aggressive.
I don't even
and you
fully
get
the
it. Scene.
Like, I know. So we used to do these exercises. We'd meet like once a week at the Lantern before a show, and we would go back and forth. All I really remember is I would always start smiling so big like a serial killer when it would get intense. Because you would drop sometimes to an emotional place.
Yeah.
And you'd always be like, Kate, you're smiling.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a maniac. I'd be like, I can't help it. Whenever we like, would get emotional,
I'd
like be
like.
It's like
when you're at a funeral and you can't stop laughing because you're just awkward at that moment. Yeah, it's weird. You got to get that. It's a fucking weird thing, the Meisner technique, but it works though. It does work with like.
Do you still do it?
No, I haven't done that. I want to get back into acting, but like.
Can we try it on the podcast real quick? I don't even really remember how to do it, but like, I really am curious if I still get that weird smile. I just remember because we're both such aware people that you'd be like. Kate, I know it got intense, but like stop. And I would try to like get back there without smiling.
It's a coping mechanism.
It is. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
And we had that girl. I swear to God, that girl was on that show.
The waitress.
The waitress. I forget her. She was gorgeous.
She was beautiful.
I'm pretty positive she was on the show, The Killing.
I believe you.
Because she looked exactly like, I forgot her name though.
I remember her. She was drop dead
gorgeous. I had a huge
She was
crush
so
on her.
Nice too.
She was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
She was so. I had a huge crush on her.
I think we all did, though. I didn't have one like you had one, but you want to make her laugh and smile and like.
Oh my god! I just wanted to be friends with her.
Yeah, she was amazing.
I'm pretty positive she was an actress too. I remember hitting you up. Remember hitting you up. I go, is this the girl? And you're like, I don't know.
I didn't watch the show, but she had the quality where I could believe.
It was her.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was phenomenal. Yeah, whoever she is
whoever
out there.
She was, yeah.
Yeah, she
Hopefully
was.
Hopefully she's still acting. She's got to be still acting.
Yeah, well, we're thinking of you. Okay, so let's see if we can do this technique. I don't really remember how to do it, but that could be just as funny anyway.
Okay.
Okay,
so
you start.
So it's repetition.
Okay, we'll see.
So I got to do something real quick.
I thought it had to be like I thought it would start with something like, I'm like, you're wearing a gray sweater. And then you'd be like,
okay.
I'm wearing a gray
sweater. Yeah, 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 yeah. There's like different
but
forms.
But then how does it like how do, then how does it morph? I forget.
It's different forms of like, that's the beginning.
Because then you'd switch and I'd be like, I'd be like, why are you sitting? Right? Like, isn't
no,
it?
No, you never switch.
Never.
Whenever I say.
The whole time it's about the gray sweater?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it. Let me see if I can do this.
Okay. Do you want to go? Me go.
You go.
You're wearing jeans.
I'm wearing jeans?
Yeah, you're wearing jeans.
I'm wearing jeans.
Yeah, you're wearing jeans.
I'm wearing jeans.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, yeah, you're wearing jeans.
I'm wearing jeans.
Yeah, you're wearing jeans.
I'm wearing jeans?
You're wearing jeans.
I'm wearing jeans. That wasn't good acting. Because I felt myself getting real, and then I started doing the smile.
As I'm doing it, there's more shit I'm remembering, and it's just like, you gotta like go, it's weird. It's gotta go into
it. It's actually really cool. Like, clearly I didn't want to do it forever because like, we're on the podcast, but now I'm remembering it's like actually an emotional exercise.
Yeah, because you gotta get, you like, when I was like, you're wearing jeans, you were like, I'm wearing jeans, and I was like, I'm like, in my, like, you gotta like take a pause and be like, you want it, basically when I'm like, yeah. You're wearing jeans.
We need to like, get into fights. Like it's like
yeah. But what I'm saying is like stupid. Yeah, can't you see you're wearing fucking jeans? that's what the whole thing is.
Yeah.
So you gotta like, but you can't say those words. You can't just say this only the certain words that you're allowed to say.
But the emotion that changes and drops conveys the whole thing. Yeah, it's pretty great actually.
Yeah, and I went to acting class. Like then you have to move around. So like you had to get your energy so you could be like ah, I scream like yeah, you're. fucking wearing jeans.
And it can go there.
Yeah.
Like, to the point of, yeah, like an intense. And then you could, I remember I went to like one class and then you and I just practiced. You were still going to class, but like the one I watched, there would be like a girl and guy who were like trained actors. They would start like actually weeping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and be like, I'm wearing jeans.
Yeah.
And I remember watching being like, fuck, I don't know if I can ever get there.
There were
like
people that would cry in class, in my class, and I'd be like, how do you do that? But a lot of times,
can
it was,
you get there?
Maybe, but I didn't need, probably need practice.
Yeah.
But you got to like really go dark.
You do. You have to be able to go into that place.
Yeah. And it's not like a couple of times, like people would cry. Like mostly it was women. A lot of women can go cry easier than men. And they would just go deep and then they would need a minute.
Yeah.
They would need a minute to just like, you have to, my, and the teacher knew. The teacher was awesome. This guy, Ron, he would just let him go. He'd go, go to the next room. Go. Just relax as much time as you need. You need a minute to get back into like that, the scene of like, you just fucking emotionally just took a shit, basically.
Yeah.
So you need to go and like get that out. It's crazy how
acting is nuts.
Yeah, it's fucking insane how intense it is and how people just think you just it's not even like there's so many years you have to do like years of training before you even learn lines. You have to get that emotion and be able to go to that emotion before like learn, and then you have to learn lines. Then you have to properly learn how to say lines, which is a whole nother category.
What's so crazy about acting is like in my everyday life, I can hit such highs and lows naturally. Like I could get a text that suddenly I look at and it's like my whole day is ruined for a second. You know what I mean? Like naturally I can plummet or peak. But then when it's like you have to hit that right now, it's such a... like,
that's tough, yeah. So that's how good you have to be
as
an actor to just...
be able to go there.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I learned. It was like a lot of theater actors are better than movie actors. And I never knew why, but he goes, you do it every day. It's like comedy. It's like if you do comedy every single day, you're going to be better. That's why there's a lot of people that aren't famous that are way funnier than famous people.
Interesting.
Because they're doing this shit more and more and more and more and more. Because
they've worked the muscle, you're saying?
Yeah. So, like, theater actors, that's why a lot of people start as theater actors. You start as a theater actor, and then you go to movies. And you'll see a lot of, like, even Denzel Washington, probably the greatest actor, goes back and does theater at times. Because, it's just a muscle to get better. You practice it more and more, so he probably makes a ton of money doing it. But he doesn't make as much money as he would for a movie. He'll go and work for 8 weeks, 10 weeks, and just get better as an actor. Then you go back into the movies, and you're just better.
That hurts my stomach thinking about doing a live production where lines have to be specifically memorized, and you're performing it live. Like,
sorry.
Oh no, it's fine. Chris's phone's
this
going
off. This
is
my mom. Yep, knew that was happening.
Is she like, where are you?
Oh yeah, I mean, she's gonna be like, what time are you coming up?
I'm actually podcasting in Westfield, New Jersey.
Yeah,
she'd be like, what?
Yes, I think I told her I was doing a podcast, but I didn't tell her what time. So,
she's fine. Christmas Eve podcasting.
This is fun. I'm jacked. Yeah. I love talking about this stuff.
I'm jacked too, man. Like I was in for most of the day and hanging with Shane, but I got murderous earlier about something, and it's good to just be like,
get it out, talk to somebody.
Yeah, I mean the stuff I got the murderous about. It's like when you have a plan for something to go a certain way, and then you find out it's not going to go exactly that way, which is like life, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular thing threw me. And then eventually I learn how to just surrender and go, you know what? I only have so much control anyway. So like...
just let it go.
Yeah. And I've semi-let it go because I'm still kind of working through this thing. But I'm trying my best to like... because I truly believe that the universe has all of our backs and just wants us to grow and evolve. And that includes not giving us the things we think we want all the time.
Well, no. It doesn't give us anything.
Well, no, that's not true.
I don't think it does.
That's so
dark. You got to fight for everything.
Oh, see, I think it's, I mean, literally, if you want to get spiritual about it, in the tree of life, the Sphero, and I'm going to put the fighting for something along the lines of something, but it's, I think it's the balance between action and going for something, but also the action of surrendering and being able to flow. Because if you are too aggressive in the pursuing of something, mm-hmm. you're missing also the natural current of life, because the current will also bring you to where you're supposed to be. It would be like what you're talking about. If you had only that energy, it's like a fish constantly trying to swim upstream.
Yeah.
And you want the balance of, you don't want to be the fish that just totally never swims, but you want to be able to swim in the direction of where you're being swum
to. Yeah. So you want to be able to go both ways. And not you want to be able
to balance.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's hard to know when to stop fighting, especially if you've learned how to fight as a way to survive.
Uh-huh.
So, and as my therapist would say to me, she's like, you're ready to fight a lot. So it's like a learned response.
Yeah, I'm aggressive anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just automatically aggressive. It's not good. I want to be less aggressive, but I can't help it. Because I always think everyone's trying to fuck me over.
That's the exact attitude. It's like when you think the universe or God or whatever you'd call it is out to get you, you're ready to fight. And I'm trying, healing work is everything of learning how to trust, but
it's not easy.
It's not. I'm struggling.
I'm struggling too. I just get deep in my head.
What is it mostly about comedy with
you?
Oh
yeah, it's all about comedy.
Like, what are the things that make you struggle or fight the most? Like wanting more shows or
more shows. I'm not doing shows. I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
No one books me. No one wants me.
Is it more show based or is it also like TV stuff or all of it?
Well, I got to work on it's both, but shows are number one.
Because you feel like the shows will then launch you into that other stuff.
Yeah.
I hear you.
So then I'm like, if I'm not doing shit or I see someone around my age doing something that's better, I'm like, I'm just shit. No one wants me. This is terrible.
Yeah.
I got to stop it. But like last night was brutal.
Really?
I went deep last night. Yeah.
What happened?
I just saw some shit that like people did, and I was like, had nothing. I had one spotted old man hustle.
So you mean you saw like on Facebook or something?
Yeah, Facebook's terrible for me.
It's for most of us.
It's so awful because I compare myself constantly to everybody.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you're just not getting better. But it fucks with my head. It will not make me be productive.
Yeah,
because I'm just harping on that, which is the worst. It's the worst thing. But I can't stop it. I try to stop it, but I can't stop it. That's why I went to the movies last night by myself. I was like, I need to just go and just do something by myself and get away for 2 hours.
That's exactly how I get, not over comedy necessarily, but about life is like, I need to escape to a movie. Because it is. It's for me like 2 hours at least where I can be somewhere else where I'm just completely in another zone and happy. Not that I'm not happy a lot.
But you're just distracted.
Yes.
You're just distracted from the world and you don't have to think about it. And then like you're like, this is great, this is fantastic. And then as soon as the movie's over, you're like, oh, fuck my life.
You go right back to it.
Right back to it.
But what I loved even about The Shape of Water yesterday is ultimately the ending I feel is happy and romantic, and I need those lately, of like the ending being like, there is hope and there is romance. And it doesn't have to be just between a man and a woman or a woman and woman or whatever.
Or a man and or a woman and a fish.
Exactly. It has to be like, for me, you can take it into comedy and these other things. But like the thing today was a bit comedy related, which actually I don't normally get super upset about comedy related things. My obsessive thoughts are normally in the love category. I think we all have categories where we funnel our self-worth. Yeah.
Couldn't give a fuck about love. Couldn't care less about it right now in my life. And then, but comedy's everything.
Most of our comedian guy friends are very similar to you. But I think it's because also, honestly, it's been more socially acceptable lately to be obsessive about comedy than it is romance. Like, if a guy's like, oh, I'm so upset this girl doesn't return my feelings. Like, I think guys.
So you're gay?
Yeah, they'll be like, yeah, exactly.
Gay, bro.
Whereas if you say, oh, I'm just so upset because I didn't get these shows, guys will be like, oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, it's more, it's work. It's society's not allowed, doesn't allow men to feel for like love. We're not allowed to. If you are, even I'm gay, bro. It's just like that. But like if it's work, it's different because your work
then you're honorable.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah.
So you're just hardworking and driven.
You're driven as this person. Yeah, exactly. So,
but anyway, no matter what, it's really just an excuse to feel this thing that we're both kind of feeling of like frustration, maybe even despair, whatever label we'd give to these frustrated emotions.
Yeah, well, mine's it's a lot of frustration, but I know what I'm doing is not productive. I know harping on it is not the way to do it, but sometimes your mind just takes over and you can't stop it.
Do you have techniques? Like, what do you do when you're in that place where your mind's kind of ruminating?
What's bad for me is I'm alone a lot during the day because I have my day job, but it's me by myself in my car. So the thoughts...
What's your day job?
I work for a garbage company in like sales.
Okay, so it's sales, essentially. Yeah.
So I'm talking to myself most of the day, which is bad.
It's
lonely. If I had somebody with me, it'd be easy. I could distract myself.
Yeah.
But if I don't, I'll just boom right into
spiral.
Yeah, really bad. And that's the one thing I've been watching. I'm not watching, but like I'm in traffic a lot in the city. So I'll just put
that is. I mean, talk about, of course, how can you be in a good place if you're stuck in NYC traffic all the time?
What I've been doing recently, I'll put on a movie on Netflix.
That's
smart.
And
just have it on the side. I won't watch it, but I'll listen to it. So I'll be distracted from that. Plus, I won't go on Instagram or Facebook as much. And that way, I'm away from the world, kind of. I've watched the shittiest movies on Netflix just to distract myself. I don't want to listen or hear about anything. Just so I can fucking just go away.
Well. Yeah.
But it's helping. It does help, but it's also a Band-Aid.
Yeah, I think, and this isn't going to be a surprise, but I think ultimately the only way to really get to the root of these things is real healing work. Like whether it's a therapist or a healer /therapist or just a healer, and like really constantly being aware, like, oh, wow, I'm ruminating again. Mm-hmm. Right now it's about comedy or it's this particular show I didn't get. Let me just like with compassion watch how much my brain is just going in a circle over and over and realize that there's something else actually going on. Like when I'm stuck and obsessing, whether it's sadness or anger or whatever's kind of fueling that spin, I really try to remind myself, like, it's not actually about the thing as much as I think it is. Like, there's something, this is a defense mechanism that somehow protected me when I was really young.
Okay.
That right now is still running. And I try to remember that. I don't try to change it necessarily because that's almost impossible when you're like, stop obsessing. Like, that doesn't help it.
Doesn't help at all.
No. So I just go, oh, wow, like, I am really triggered, and because most of the time it's very much linked to like self-worth.
My whole life I was not, I always thought I was shit.
Do you know like where it stemmed from? Did you get it like from parents essentially?
No, it's my brother.
Really? What do you mean?
As
much as you want to share.
No, I'll give a fuck.
Is he younger or older?
Older.
Okay.
And I always compared myself to him because he's very smart, very intelligent. I was always better at sports, but it was more because he was 5 years older than me, so he just was physically bigger than me. And except with schoolwork, I was not good in school. And my parents were like, you know, you're just lazy. It's like, no, you're just dumb. I was like, they said lazy just so I wouldn't feel bad, but I wasn't as smart as he was. So I compare myself constantly, and I always compare myself good-looking-wise to him. So I was always behind him in life. So I always, every time my parents were like, no, you're just as good, I would be like, you're just saying that shit to make me feel better. So I always take myself down a notch. So my self-worth was always lower.
Wow.
Than that. So that's where I always get it from. Even like today, if I go on stage and I'll do well, people will be like, you're so funny. I'm like, no, you're just saying that to me. You're just trying to make me feel better. So
you
that,
can't take in.
I can't take a compliment. I'm physically unable. I have to give you a rebuttal to the compliment.
Yeah.
Because then I can't just be like, oh, thank you, I appreciate it.
Because you don't believe it about yourself.
I don't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad. I can relate to it, you know, and I think a lot of people.
Yeah, it's not
can.
Good. It's fucking with my head a lot, Kate.
Well, the good news is it's something that can actually, for real, I'm not just saying this, heal and transform. And that is ultimately the root of everything is like learning how to receive love and good things, not just like love in the romantic sense, but
love in society or whatever.
Yeah, like taking in applause or in compliments. And a lot of us have built walls to our hearts, so we can't actually we can't even believe that we deserve
good things. Did you ever see a comic who's just not funny, and they get off stage like crushed. And I want to be like, how do you have this confidence? Can you tell me how to get this confidence?
But that's not real either, because if they actually didn't, that's a different kind of defense mechanism. That's very different than yours.
Is it? Oh, I truly believe they think they did well. I'm like,
They do. They do in a sense. It's once again, it's a defense because they can't live in reality either, because their reality is they might have been even more abused, where they had to, in order to just really stay alive, hear something different than what was happening, which is a really sad place ultimately. Yours, and who knows, it doesn't mean I know the answer to yours. Clearly you've got a lot
issues.
Of a handle. No, see, you're so negative. You've already got a handle on that it's linked to brother. It's also probably linked to parents, because most of the time, energetically, you'll pick up on their own self-worth issues, and if they're hard on themselves, it's going to go on to you.
Yeah, I guess my dad, I don't think my dad was hard on himself. Maybe he was. He always wanted to make more money. I remember that. My dad always wanted to make more money than anyone
else.
Who
knows who he's comparing to, whether it's a sibling, a parent, a friend. Most of us who are in this place find ways to say, see, I knew I was less than. I knew I wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm. It's also easier to do that. It's easier to be negative than it is to be positive. It's way easier to do that.
Yeah, what was it? There was a... You know what? It was actually a preview for a Wrinkle in Time's coming out. And it said something like, the only thing faster than the speed of light is the speed of darkness. Or something like that.
That's a good... You should get the tattoo in your arm.
Yeah,
or
right? Which I don't know if I even necessarily agree with that. But in a sense, it's like... Often it is easier to collapse on yourself and just be like, fuck it or whatever, than to stay positive. What I try to do is like, I let myself collapse. If I'm going to collapse, I'm going to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
So often I'll just let myself fall into whether it's fury, despair, loneliness. Like I'll fall and I'll be like, okay, I'm here. I feel, you know, I'll just feel it. I'll be like, fuck. And then whenever I feel ready, I climb out of it. And I'm like, nope. I'm going to keep going.
But you can do that, though? You can feel that switch comes, and you're like, okay, I got to turn it back on again?
It's really about going with the flow, because the flow of life is actually, okay, I just got triggered. I feel sad and angry. There's nothing, I can pretend I don't, but that's psychotic. So let me go here. It's happening already anyway. Mm-hmm. So I kind of swirl. Like when it happens to me, if it's anger, I am swirl. It's like tornado fire.
The rage comes. Yeah.
When I'm in rage, like Shane saw me. I was like, I mean, not to him, because he can laugh at it because he knows so well. I'm like, I will murder every baby I see today. I was like, get me a straw because I'm drinking baby blood. And Shane will just be laughing. And I'll be like, duh, duh, duh. You know, I'll be like, everyone's an idiot. And Shane's like, everyone. I'm like, you're not an idiot. He's like, is Jada an idiot? I'm like, Jada's not an idiot, but everyone else is an idiot. And like, I'll be in there, but he knows I'm going to come out. So like, I'll just let myself. And then it plays its course. And then I go, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I just crawl out. And then I'm like, okay, like, I have a great career that I'm forming. Like, I don't care how many no's I get. I don't care how many obstacles there are. Like, it's up to me. I'm going to keep fucking going. And I'm going to keep believing in myself and include the negative self-worth that says it'll never happen or whatever. I'm like, no, I'm going to keep going. And then I just fight for it. And then you'll hit your peaks where you're like, I'm amazing. And then
the peaks are the best, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy, the peaks. Sometimes you're like, I did a show and you crush, you're like, this, I'm amazing. I should be on TV.
I believe in you, Chris.
Oh, thank you.
I've always believed in
you. At
least
one of us does.
Right. Well, you know, it's helpful, but hopefully you can start. You wouldn't be still doing this if you didn't.
I'm struggling, though, with shit. Like, I do struggle with, like, should I just stop this? What am I doing? What's going on here? Like, I don't make any money. You know, I'm struggling to fucking live, but...
I think a lot of us are. The funny thing about comedy is, like, you're almost either dirt poor or filthy rich.
Yeah, there's no in-between, really.
There are some, like, road comics that have found this in-between, but...
Yeah, but it's still... I don't want to be in-between, you know?
That's the thing, is most of us don't even want that.
No.
So...
I'd rather be dirt poor and be a city comic and not be a hack, and then be a fucking hack road comic who makes money. I would... I see people.
It also feels like a lonely life to be on the road all the time. Like,
oh yeah, you don't
doing
want
that circuit. Some people love it, and then you know go for it, because there are some city comics who have also found ways to headline throughout, you know, the country or whatever, mm-hmm. and actually get a lot out of it. Like some of our friends, even who I still consider city comics for sure, are able to do some of those rooms. But well, I know who you're talking about.
I'm talking about
don't
like,
name names.
No, I want to name. But I'm talking about comics who don't change jokes up and do this. I go, how do you live with yourself? How do you look at yourself in the mirror and go, I'm a comedian, when you do the same jokes you did 20 years ago? It's so I want to throw up every time I have a new bit.
But that's fear too. That's like, I know I get laughs here. And they almost don't want to try the new material.
They don't want to push themselves.
Yeah. It's also, I think it's related to this flow thing, too. It's like they're holding on tight. I know these jokes work. The world doesn't get it yet. It's like the uncle who repeats the joke over and over until he thinks people are going to laugh.
Yeah,
you're like,
let
it go.
It's over.
It's done. But like, it's funny because that's, you know, once again, healer over here. But if I'm going to feel into your...
aura?
Whatever you'd want
chakra,
to call it.
Whatever it is. I don't know the name of the shit.
Whatever. I don't even know exactly what I'd call it. Your soul song or whatever. But like, yeah, it feels like something's actually transforming though, I think, where you're going to be learning how to surrender a bit more. And it's going to come down to faith and trust, not just in the universe, but in yourself. Like, and really, we can talk after about some techniques you can use. But like, the more you just set an intention every day of like, okay, my intention today is for wholeness and to be mm-hmm. happy. Like as whatever happy means, set that intention. So no matter what you do throughout your day, you still have this intention. But then also, yeah, just remembering like you are talented, even if there are all these beliefs running that are telling you
you're not
good enough.
Yeah.
Comparing whether it's to your brother still or now other comics, if it's now, you know, just transferred onto them.
Yeah. It goes everywhere.
Yeah. I've gotten pretty good in comedy about not really comparing to people. It's in the romance category that I still compare, but it's a really funny relationship to it because on one hand I still compare and on the other hand I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like I know enough.
Yeah,
like I'm I am such a unique out there person.
Yeah, but
I'm like
more in romance than mostly anyone.
What do you mean? I don't feel like I do.
See, you don't feel like you do, but let's see. You have a house. You have a son.
Oh, but that's not romance.
It comes from romance.
That's a beautiful way of thinking about it.
People your age, single people your age, would wish they had a child or wish they had something.
And a child like Shane too. He's
the best. It's like you don't see what you have. Everyone has that. You don't see what you have. Yeah. And everyone, like, I even do it, too. Like, people are like, oh, I would love to be able to do shit, like, the spots or whatever that I have. And I'm like, I have shit. I have nothing. They're like, no, what are you talking about?
We forget to have gratitude.
You don't see it. People, you're just looking at the fact that you don't have somebody, but yet you have a lot more than most people. And you got to realize that. I do the same thing, too, though.
I'm working on it. I'm really working on, I think it's about presence. Like, let me be right here in this present moment and be thankful. Like, I have one of my close friends who came a far drive on Christmas Eve.
2.5
I'm
hours
not alone
away.
On Christmas Eve. Yes. Sorry, Chris.
No, it's my fault. I should have fucking put the address in before.
My bad.
But you know, people don't see what you have. People take it for granted. It's all about society now. Society's going so fucked up with like Facebook and Instagram. I think it's one of the worst things for society because people are constantly putting Instagram, what I have on Instagram. I have this. I have this. I have this. And people that don't have that, they're looking like, oh, I don't have that, man. I'm shit compared to this guy.
Meanwhile, a lot of it's a facade.
Everything is a facade. Everything. Like, I look at it with comics where they're like, oh, I'm here tonight. And I don't put where I am mostly on city shows.
Because, yeah, me either.
Because it's city shows. It's not good enough. The other shows are...
Well, I don't agree. That like hurt my heart as you said that.
Well, to me, it's not. It's a shitty... It's a city show. I'm not putting a bar show up for four people.
Okay, well, let's turn this on you now since you complimented me. Yeah, we'll work on you taking things in. You know, you get a ton of great shows and spots. I feel like you're up all the time. And yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that you're saying to me is like there are probably tons of comics way below you in the city that are like, man, I wish I got up as much as Chris did, or wow, Chris has passed at this amazing club. How do I get past there? Like, And yet you're forgetting. Because look, if we took Kate and Chris, the ones that were doing the Meisner technique, what was that, what, 5 years
what was
ago?
How about Broadway Comedy Club interns? Oh my God.
Yeah, let's take it real back. That's, we were interning for free, mm-hmm. so we could do a 5 minute check spot.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Brutal.
If we could see us now, do you know what I mean? We'd be like, wait, you don't have to intern for spots? Wait, you're getting a 15 minute or a 10 minute spot here without having to fucking.
You're getting paid?
Yeah, $25.
Yeah, yeah, you're getting paid.
So we forget, and I do try to work on that a lot when I'm like, oh, I wish I just had a partner to meet me and blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, wait a second. Literally, when I was married, and I wasn't happily married, I was daydreaming about having my own apartment one day and mm-hmm. feeling autonomous, you know? And here I am, like...
You have it, but you don't want it.
I wasn't even a comedian at all then.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm like, wow, you have a life you couldn't have even dreamed of 10 years ago. And yet I'm in it and still thinking of the future, you know? And what I really need to work on is, which I do anyway, is like, how can I heal myself enough that I can feel how much I already have right now?
Yeah, I think about the future a lot. Which is not good.
Most of us go to the future.
And I think about, oh my God, 20 years from now, am I even going to have money? Am I going to, you know? Am I?
You do it in a scary way.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, am I going to have money? Am I going to be a comedian? Am I going to have to give it up? Am I gonna, and like, it's, if I'm just like, just, the other day I was just like, what? I go, why don't you just be just here right now? Like last night I did two spots. I did two spots last night. And I was like, I just did two spots in New York City. I go, yeah, it wasn't the greatest shows in the world, but. I did two spots.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I got in front of people. There's some people that didn't do anything last night.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, just be here for the, just be here right now. Sometimes I let myself do that, but then I'll go and see something on Facebook or Instagram and I'll be like, oh, fucking, I suck. I'm terrible. Blah, blah, blah. It's the worst thing. That feeling is god awful, but it's always there.
Yeah. It's so funny how so many of us have these things and most of us don't discuss it. Like if you go on all of our Instagrams, myself included, although I'm a little bit more honest, I think, than most. Like I'll post like a picture from my rap video, but then be like, just had a panic attack.
You know, like, you do do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I don't want to put off fake. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like people can ultimately see through that anyway. So for me, it's like
fake people in this business will get shown, not the door, but you could see through them. Like, oh, you're just not real.
Yeah, there are some that, no, there are actually a decent amount, like, that I still, there are a lot of fake people.
Really?
Yeah, like, even some of them hide behind their negative jokes. You know what I mean? Like, you're still not really seeing their vulnerability. Because, look, even the whole roast battle culture, which on one hand I love, like, it's mm-hmm. very entertaining. So many of our close friends are so fucking talented at crafting these jokes. But I think a lot of us even hide behind, especially you included, self-deprecation. It's a way to like hide, because I think there's a part of you deep down that's actually really confident and really loves yourself. Because once again, you're a very good looking dude. You're very talented. Clearly, you believe in yourself to be taking such risks, for real. So there's a place in you that really is confident, but you're almost...
I don't want to allow myself. I think if I allow myself to be confident, I won't. I don't know if it work as hard or it won't. I'll just think I'm better than. I don't. And the one thing I always thought of, I never want to feel like I'm better than somebody, because
I wonder why.
Because I think it's mean. I think it's just if.
But isn't there a balance between like, and this is something I think most of us struggle with. It's like, how can I completely love myself and be confident without thinking I'm necessarily better than someone for real? But that's why I talked about this a little bit last time. This is why I love rapper personalities, is because they often find a way to rap these lyrics that most of us are too scared to say in terms mm-hmm. of confidence. Like Cardi B, like, little bitch, you can't fuck with me. Because there's a place in all of us that has that. Like, I'm better than you. I'll beat you. But then we also have the place that's like, I'm worse than you. And then we have another place. It's like, we're all connected. We're all the same. Like, all of those things can exist, but we almost are scared to claim the confident place.
Yeah.
But it's real. We're animals. Like, there's a place in us that are competitive.
I would love to be able to claim the confidence of, like, a Cardi B. Just to
I
have
think
that.
It's in you. You just have to let yourself claim it.
You got
to
let yourself do it. But it's like, oh, I feel like, because in my world, I'm like, I'm not, I don't know this person. I can't sit here and be like, I'm better than this person because maybe it's not real. Maybe they're just a good person. I don't know. And I'm like, I'm a good person. You're a good person. Let's be good people.
No, of course. Look, I truly love everyone in the sense of like, I want the world to thrive. I love animals. Like, I want us all to be able to coexist and for real thrive in a way that we are not, including the oceans. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yo, we're killing each other. We're killing the planet. Like, let's love each other. With that being said, it's still important to claim this innate, dark, animalistic place that's like, I'll eat your face off if I have to. But it's real.
I think that's like a mother thing, though.
No,
like,
think about dudes as hunters in the wilderness. That's ingrained in us. Like, if you're stranded on an island.
Oh, yeah, your primal.
That's what I'm saying. There's a primal part of us that's sexual, rageful. It's real. It doesn't mean you give into it. But the truth is, it's when you push it away and pretend it doesn't exist is when you get the fucking real crazy people that are like, end up doing some weird shit.
Yeah.
So for me, what I love about the healing work, which was unexpected that it took me to rapping, like I didn't think that was going to happen. But for me, it became an outlet to express this thing I'm talking about that I never felt like I could say. Like, some of my lyrics are insane and so cocky. But it's not that they're fake, because there is a place in me
that thinks that. Yeah.
But then there are tons of other places that are like, oh my God, I would never do that. Like, because I have like lyrics where I'm like, I'll steal your man. And then I'm like, I would never steal your man. I don't want to steal your man. Like, keep your man.
I want to find my own man.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm just talking shit. Yeah, but like, but then there, of course, there's the cocky part that's like, bitch, I'll take your man. Like,
if I have to, yeah. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Fuck you, little Kate Wolf in the house.
I'll eat your baby if I need to eat your baby. I would never eat your baby. You know what I mean? Why would I eat your baby? I'm a vegetarian.
What's your rapper name?
Kate Wolf or The Wolf.
The Wolf?
Yeah, but it's still Kate Wolf.
Are you gonna put a Lil in front of that? Lil Wolf?
Hell no. I ain't Lil.
Lil Wolf double F. No. Lil Wolf double F.
Yeah, if you want to call me that, you can, but no. It's Kate Wolf, but like in the beginning of my Labia Game song, I go like, yeah, The Wolf. You know, like, I should play it for you after. It's coming out hopefully in January. That's like something I'm working on
right now.
With the label. I'm like, I just want it out. I'm so pumped.
How many tracks is it?
So the comedy album has 17 stand-up comedy tracks, and then the 18th track is Labia Game.
Labia Game. Okay.
So it's all comedy, and then, I mean, Labia Game is both comedy and a rap song, but there's definitely comedy within it for sure. But then my desire is within this year to create a whole rap/musical album for real and like put my heart and soul into
it. That's dope.
Yeah. I mean, I love comedy and I've put my life into it, but then also getting to like get into musical stuff has elicited a whole other fire in me that I really want to like.
You're like Julia.
I love Julia.
Julia does Lil Young Big. It's the fucking, he's a good rapper too. But he loves doing it.
Well, he's someone that I really, you know, at one of my break free dance parties, he came and rapped live. Like, he's someone who I see as an artist who does comedy, but also keeps all these other avenues alive. And I think you have the same thing. Like, seriously, I see acting being really big for you. I see comedy. And who else knows as you open up to this place we're talking about? But, you know, he's amazing. We have Matt Pavich is someone who I feel like is an ultimate artist. I mean, I don't want to start because then people are going to be like, what about
really
me?
He's really talented.
Because we have a lot of friends who have multifaceted things. James Manzello, the director for my video, like he's someone, he doesn't necessarily do stand up, but he's certainly a comedian. But then also is like,
he's so talented.
He's so talented. So, I just think, I don't know. I'm excited to really focus on creating music because I have some wild shit. Not just like Labia Game's very raunchy and raw in that way, but I've got a lot of shit I want to say that's raw, but in more of like a spiritual sense or a heartbroken sense.
Do you freestyle? Or do you just do
no?
You put
I'm
beats,
too scared
you put
to
some
do that.
Beats on in your room.
If I'm by myself,
yeah.
Because most of the stuff I write, in a sense, is freestyle. Like it'll just start flowing. Like I don't really ruminate over my lyrics. Like they kind of just come out for real. Like it's like, you know. So, and then sometimes I'll be like, oh, I need a word that rhymes with this. But most of the time, it's whatever the fuck comes out is already rhyming. So in a sense, that's freestyling. I'm still too self-conscious in front of a person. Like if someone's like, "I'm gonna put on a beat," come like I'm too.
That's tough. You gotta have confidence. Hard. I was watching the Black Thoughts, the freestyle he did on Hot 97.
Have you seen it? No.
So he dropped a 10-minute freestyle. I was watching that.
Confidence.
I go, the confidence he has in himself is unreal. There were multiple times where I'm like, I would have just been like, all right, I'm done. He just stayed in it and kept the confidence. I've never seen someone more confident in a freestyle than that. He just knew,
yeah,
I'm the shit. Watch me be the shit, and I'm going to show you why I'm the shit. And he did. It was amazing.
See, I want all of us to be able to reach that place within ourselves, but that doesn't mean you start being mean to people. And I think that's part of your fear is like, how can I hold on to this place that really feels like I'm amazing and confident and handsome and smart, because that's a big thing wound for you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because first of all, don't even get into school smart, standardized test smart, whatever. You can be very smart and not do well in school.
Life? Okay.
No, you're doing well in life. You just don't perceive it as
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think everyone needs to get to a place where they can really feel that confidence that they probably weren't allowed to feel as children for whatever reason. They got squashed. But to be able to feel it, but then not take advantage of it. Like, that doesn't mean you hurt people. It's like, oh, I feel really good about myself, so let me foster that in you. To me, that's healing. That's okay. Love. But I think things are shifting and changing, and I'm hoping that a lot of people who have voices in entertainment start preaching this positive message.
People do, I think.
I think so.
Ever watch like The Secret or shit? Like on like every major actor, they just don't. They believe they're going to be successful. It's just a thing they just have built in them.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, I wish I could fucking just believe. Just go. And he goes, Will Smith did it. He goes, like, I'll outwork you. I know I'm going to be.
I should pull a card for you before you leave. I don't think I have any up here.
Cards. I love cards.
I don't know if that's a card. But here, feel that pile of that. Are there cards in there?
There's something in here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I do have cards up here.
Cards.
Of course I do. I'm like, I don't think I have cards. Of course I do.
I don't think you're 5 feet away from cards in your life.
I don't think I have.
You just always
I said that, and I was like, I have cards up here. What am I talking? They
here,
follow
yeah.
me. Okay, why don't you shuffle real quick, and then we'll pick one for you at least. And what time? Oh, my God. Yeah, we'll wrap it up soon. It did fall. I'm so happy you came over. It means a lot to me, because as much as I don't make a huge deal over the holidays, they're still a huge deal. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
we can be like, fuck holidays.
I knew you were a Jew, so I was like, she's not doing anything this, on Christmas Eve.
Even though I'm a Jew, or Jewish, which sounds a little nicer to me. I all the time say I'm a Jew. But when Christmas hits, if I'm totally alone, it hurts. I still feel it. So
no, definitely. Just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you don't have feelings.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like some Jewish people, they're like, oh, it's Christmas, doesn't affect me. Like, I don't celebrate it.
Have another Jew next to them.
Exactly. You're right.
It's okay.
And I've almost always dated Christians or Catholics. So I've been celebrating Christmas with someone since I was in like 9th or 10th grade.
Ooh.
So like when I don't, I'm like, shouldn't I be at like my boyfriend's with his family? Like, I feel it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was with a dude for 5 years, and like every Christmas, like, oh my God, his family would like pamper me because they loved it. Because it was like the Jewish girl, like with the starry eyes.
He doesn't know anything.
Yeah. They're like, look here. And I'd be like, oh my God, stocking gifts.
I did that with my ex. She came over. She's Catholic, but she never really celebrated Christmas like the way my family did. And then when she came over for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, it was like, she was like, what is this? I'm like, this is a fucking typical Christmas. She just didn't realize like the whole like 40 people get together, and they gave her everything and whatever she wanted. And she didn't have to do anything. Yeah, she loved it. Just hated me.
Okay. Ooh, Five of Swords. Okay, so look at it real quick, and then I'll feel into it, and then we'll wrap it up.
This guy's got five swords. He's holding it over a child, which is a little scary. But
I have a feeling the child represents you and your inner child.
Okay.
So. Okay, let me feel into this. Oh, and I love the wings. The wings feel very appropriate for you because you've really forgotten about your wings, which I know sounds silly, but it's like remembering the magic in a sense, because you're actually someone who's very tuned in. Look, we started talking about the bonsai thing and the crystal and being pulled, and there's this young child and this magic that's still very much alive in you. That's why you're doing comedy and doing something that most people are too scared to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this thing, and yet the five swords usually represent these thoughts that are really have taken over. And five, it's interesting. The number five makes me think of electricity, confrontation, excitement, but it can also be something that has a manipulative quality. And I think that other people's belief systems, where they thought, well, this is how the world is, son. It's dark sometimes and it's shit sometimes. And I'm not saying it's your dad when I say son. It's that old school belief, like
mentality,
like this is how it is. So keep crying.
Just gotta fight through it.
Yeah, it's like you keep crying, but this, you know, get used to it. The world's not just roses and ponies, you know? And I feel like these beliefs, and like this child is on the ground looking at them, like, oh, like literally it gives me that feeling of a child crying on the ground and these beliefs coming at them, like, you know, get it together, you know, take off your rose colored glasses, you know, this isn't what the world is, it's a tough place, you got to survive. And it's like this angel is like holding up these beliefs, like, look, these are the beliefs that are still swimming within you, but they don't have to be there. Like, they're not this fear, these are illusions that are swimming, and it's time as a collective that we alchemize and change them.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, in myself included, because I'm still swimming in a lot of these negative belief systems. But it's like look at them, because there's illumination to be had and growth and literally getting your wings. Like, we are limitless beings, and you are capable of really pursuing your dreams and having it all, including happiness and fulfillment. It's like you were saying in that secret thing, people who make it, whatever make it means, it's because they believe in themselves fearlessly, including the drops, though. Believing in yourself doesn't mean you don't hit the bottoms.
It's just you gotta, it's different. You fight through the bottoms to get to the top again. It's
whatever you, but remember, fight through might not be what you think it means, because fighting through doesn't mean being in denial that you're there. It's like, because some people hit angry. They're like, no, let it go. I'm not angry. I'm happy. Like, that's a little bit like kitchen knife, whatever. You want to be like, wow, I'm really triggered. I really feel despair. I really feel angry. That's okay. This is going to pass. But let me sit here and trust that this will pass. And then I will keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, it's letting yourself fall and get back up. And I've said this before on the podcast, but it's honestly Phoenix energy rising from the ashes. Daily.
Is it from nothing, or is that mean Phoenix means from? Isn't it?
Nothing's from nothing? A funny word, right? Because what is nothing? What's nothingness? If we really
not anything stable, like
Instead of saying nothing, I think you're not. I don't think you're wrong, but I want to say a word that's almost more tangible than nothingness. It's because ashes aren't nothing. Ashes are something that once existed, but outgrew its course. So think of it almost like a snake shedding its skin. So I would almost say it like that, or think of like the butterfly after the cocoon. It's more of like when you're in the, when the caterpillar's in the cocoon and it becomes mush, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the nothingness I would almost compare it to. It's like there's this formlessness, there's this gunk that probably feels fucking And then the butterfly is almost like the phoenix with the wings. So, you know, and I don't want to get too much into what is nothingness, because then we'll talk about, like, how do we even manifest? What's before this?
It's another podcast about nothing.
Because I don't yeah, exactly.
It's a podcast about nothing.
I don't even know if I have the capabilities to fully explain that. But this is more about the phoenix energy. Like, you're you right now. You might fall into despair, which would be the ashes, but you're still you in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can still come up.
Still rise from the ashes. Yeah. Still,
almost as a new Chris, though, because you can die and be reborn millions and billions times a day. I mean, I was in despair a couple hours ago, and now I'm feeling better. Fine.
Yeah.
But I might hit despair again in an hour. And you just go, okay, I'm here again. And I will be out, and I will always keep going. And nothing is going to stop me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Because I'm not going to stop.
I like that, yeah.
So that's just what I think. I'm like, okay, you know, people can try to take me down. Not that I even think they are. But do you know what I mean? Like, nothing's going to stop me because I will be unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
No one can take that away from me.
Yeah.
You can chain me down for 3 years. You can, you know what I mean? Like, I will get out of those chains eventually. and I will get right back to where I'm supposed to be. Or not even back. Rerouted.
Better.
Yeah.
Could be better.
Probably.
Yeah. That's interesting. That goes. I like this kind of stuff with the car.
Yeah.
I do like it. I do sometimes think it's bullshit. I do.
I'll Thank be you like, for your honesty.
I'll be like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, it's, come on, that's fucking bullshit. Like, honestly, one thing every woman says, and I try to draw, Mercury's in retrograde. I'm sorry, that's bullshit. Just because the something's in retrograde doesn't mean you can't be a bitch. You stop being a bitch or something like that.
I don't know much about Mercury in retrograde. Or I'm not an astrology expert. I have a couple friends, obviously. You know, Rosebud is. My friend Elizabeth Brucia is. So I have some friends that really do love that. I am a lover of it without being an expert. With the Mercury in retrograde, I think a lot of people don't even fully know what it means. And then they do blame things on it. But you could also do that with, like, your period. You could do that with anything. For me, let's take it out of Mercury in retrograde. The stars and the moon cycles do affect us. End of story. Like when there's a full moon.
I think they do affect because they affect the ocean, which is the world, the universe.
And we are made of water.
Yeah, yeah. So I do believe that. But I just, there's some things where like you blame it for other things. And it's just like, maybe you're just not a good person. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're just you're kind of cunty. Excuse my language.
I think it depends on each individual. Do you know what I mean? Because
I think the people use it as an excuse, though.
You can do that with any. You can be like, oh, it was the gluten that is making me act like this.
The trees weren't aligned in my favor.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Though? You can. We're talking about a personality thing, which could be getting affected by those things, maybe. I think that we're affected by things. Like, look, we forget how affected we are by everything. Seasons changing. I mean, I am affected and I'm finally paying attention. Winter is a tough time for me.
Winter's brutal for me, too.
So, you know, it's the same as that. Do I blame things on the winter? Sometimes, sometimes not. Like, if I'm being cranky, I probably would be cranky in the summer, too. But my body definitely does something different in the winter.
Do you get seasonal depression?
I'm not completely sure because I battle depression and anxiety year round. I do think something happens in the winter. You know, I just found out my Lyme disease came back, and I found out because the winter time brings about a lot of swelling and stuff in my body. So in the winter, my body, something's happening. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's also seasonal depression. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I'm figuring this out more and more.
I do. I get seasonal depressed a little bit. I still suffer from depression in general. But like today where like I wanted to get up early today and go shopping. That was my goal. I just couldn't get out of bed. And yeah. I couldn't. But when I got out of bed, I was like, now I'm like, it's fucking dark out already. I had 3 hours of light today. Because I just couldn't get myself out of bed.
2 days ago, I think it was the darkest day, and now it's going to be getting a little better.
Yeah, it's a little up from here.
Yeah, but, so that's hopeful.
Yeah, yeah, but still, it's just like that. It's just like now I'm like, I didn't see any fucking light today, and then nothing at all. 3 hours, yeah. And now I'm like, ah, shit, now.
But don't let it, when you get in that mindset, be like, you know what, though? This can still be a dope-ass day. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I'm going to go and have so much fish right now. It's going to be ridiculous.
Good for you.
But I still have to go get gifts.
I like how I say good for you, and I'm like a vegetarian. I'm like, good for you. Good for you.
The fish is, I guess you can.
Very, very rarely do I have that. When my body's like in a protein deficiency, I'll go do it. But I try to be vegan as much as I can.
My brother's trying to change his life. He's a vegan now.
Oh.
That's what he does now. He's
the brother that we're always comparing to. Yeah. Dude, we got to wrap this up.
Okay.
Sorry. No, it's all good. So, Chris, where can people find you, follow you?
At Chris Scopo on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I like Instagram.
I love Instagram, too.
Instagram's better. It's more fun.
Yeah.
So hit me up on Instagram. I like Instagram way more than I do like Facebook. I hate Facebook. I don't hate it, but I don't need to see everything on Facebook.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. For me, not sure when my album's coming out. We're trying to work this out.
It's coming, though.
It's coming. I'm very excited.
Can I pre-order? I'll pre-order it now.
I love you. You can't pre-order it yet. That's what we're working out right now.
God, you got to be able to pre-order it.
Because a lot of people are like, ready to pre-order this thing and I don't want to delay it, you know, but so hopefully the next podcast you listen to, I will be able to give an exact pre-order date, release date, Labia game video date. So
are you going to have a video for Labia game?
Oh, it's already in the works.
You shot it?
It's shot. It's almost all edited. There's still more editing that needs to be done, but it is a lot. So I'm just like chomping at the bit to release it. And that's, I'm just like, come on. But at the same time, I want to flow and find the best time to release that works for me, the production company, because they put a lot of marketing into it. So I don't want to fuck them up. So trying to be a team player.
You should release it on Valentine's Day. It's like, I don't need any fucking good buddy. I got Labia Games.
That's hysterical. Labia Games.
Labia Games on Valentine's Day.
That could be. They wouldn't mind that date. But yeah. I want January. I'm just ready to go. I'm
you
like,
just want to get it done.
I'm so excited to put this out, you know, and I don't want to wait. But if the universe wants me to wait, you can't fight the universe.
Can't fight the universe, yeah.
So anyway, guys, follow me, Twitter, the Kate Wolf, 2 Fs. Oh, if you want a healing or tarot card readings, I still do both of these things.
She's my great
email,
at it.
I love you.
Okay, real quick, can I post my podcast?
Go ahead.
Oh, it's at Sweet Buddies. It's S-U-I-T-E Buddies.
Where can they find it?
iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, all that
perfect
stuff. It's with me and my two roommates. You know Alex Pavone.
I know both.
And Mike Albanese.
Yeah, great people.
Yeah, we're comics who are roommates. And if you want to feel better about your life, listen to three idiots in a room talk about stuff.
Definitely check them out. I love all of them.
But get a reading by Kate. Kate does readings to me. She'll see my eyes and she'll be like, I need to give you a reading. I need to give you a reading.
Sit down.
Yeah, we'll talk for a minute.
So, yeah, it's K and then Wolf, W-O-L-F-F, 27 at gmail.com. Check out my website, thekatewolf.com. And thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Of course.
This was fun.
Bye, guys.
Bye.